This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yep. You know what it is. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Class is definitely in session. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jess, Johnny, how you doing first?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. I mean, the sun is shining. We had a little bit of like what I call sprinter. It was almost spring and then it felt very wintry, but the sun is back out, you know, and we are back teaching. We had spring break on our campus last week, so things were slow and quiet while the kids were off partying. But now they're back, and so my future teachers are going at it full steam ahead this week. And class is in session, Tim, so I'm excited about today's topic because guess what we are talking about in class this week? How to teach history and social studies like civics, geography, all that great stuff, and how to include AI as part of that process. So always excited to continue that conversation, not to bury the lead here, but I'm gonna, because Tim, you're gonna introduce our guy in a minute, and I'm excited for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Jess, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing really well. We're definitely also having some sprinter here. We had a couple days of like 65 degrees and it was just glorious. And then Wisconsin did its Wisconsin thing and we got 5 inches of snow. And today we've got freezing rain. So, you know, it's...
Wow.
But I don't know. I love this time of year where you don't really know what the weather is going to be and you just keep the whole wardrobe accessible and you take it one day at a time. How you doing, Tim?
Well, you know, people watching on the YouTube, you can see, yeah, I'm in a different location. I'm in Pennsylvania at my parents' house. And my goodness, 75 degrees right now, getting up to 80 degrees today. So it's like, you know, talk about sprinter. How about sprummer or something here that's already happening? And as you can tell by my nose, fully spring is engaging because... thank goodness for allergy medicine, because that's where I'm at. Enough about that, though. Johnny, AI, it's not just AI, though, too. We're talking about this, and we have been making these, you know, these intersections. And that's why, you know, having a guest like we have today can really help us bring worlds together that I think too often sometimes are disconnected in ways that disadvantage both. What I'm talking about is, you know, industry, the workplace. We hear about this preparation for the workforce and getting ready, and then education and where is education in this? And then within, how do you take care of, you know, industry? Industry actually does a lot of their own educating. And, you know, it's one of those things. We might be Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, but there are some things out there, Johnny, maybe we might be able to learn. And so we have a great guest. He is a seasoned international executive technologist and problem solver who has spent over 25 years at the intersection of technology, digital media, and education as co-founder and president of PEET, that's P-E-T-E. He's proving that great training is great education, and that when done right, AI-powered learning can engage, transform, and prepare people for the future, whether they're students or employees. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Luis Garcia. Luis, how are you, our friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, you know, what do you think about that introduction, man?
It was great. I was like, who's that guy?
Who's that guy? Nice, well, we got to. Hey, it's you right there, Luis. So before we get into it, PEET obviously is an acronym. Tell us about PEET. Tell us what you do. Tell us what PEET stands for. Give us an introduction to the company that is called PEET.
Well, thank you. Before I do that, I just want to say that it's about 70 degrees here in Orlando, so we're really strong.
Okay, good.
So. So PEET stands for Personalized Education, Training, and Enrichment, and it's an AI-powered platform that we're aimed to solve a couple of problems in learning. And one is the ability to create training materials for effective training. And that one, usually I like to explain that for folks that that are not familiar with education, is bring them a little bit through history. So if you're sitting in a classroom in traditional education, and the person in front of you is an expert and a good communicator, for the most part, you feel educated. But the moment you remove that expert, that teacher, and that mentor out of the equation, then the thing that is behind that person that you don't pay much attention to, those bullets and things like that, those are the teacher now. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are doing the training, especially if you're talking about self-paced digital education, right? But creating those in a way that communicate that expertise, that translation of expertise into a training experience, is not easy to do. It's expensive. There's a whole career around that called instructional design. So we try to solve that problem. How do we create effective training materials without having to hire a instructional designer? So that's the first problem we try to solve. The second problem we try to solve is the problem of evaluation of learning, what we call assessment, right? Which has really been a struggle throughout the history of learning. We haven't really found effective ways to know whether the learner actually learned. Someone at some point invented tests as a more effective way for the teacher to evaluate, and not necessarily for the student to claim their case of whether or not they mastered the material. And then when we went to digital education, we just basically automated the same thing, right? Now you can click on the website and the platform will evaluate. But we know that those have been in learning for a while that, at best it's a deficient way of evaluating learning. So the more effective way would be to be able to engage each learning personally and run through different scenarios and ask different questions, continue to inquire and kind of in a much more deeper way of evaluation. The problem with that is it's not very scalable. It's not even scalable in the classroom. Unless you have a very few amount of students. So that's the problem that's been nagging all of us for a long time. How do we do effective evaluation of learning or assessment in digital learning at scale? When in a class, you're not going to have two or three people or even 40 people, but you could have 200, So we wanted to solve those two problems and in order to create a very effective learning experience.
Well, so on that, I keep hearing this coming back and forth. For one question that just comes up, you keep saying education and training as if they're interchangeable, Luis. Are they?
No.
Okay. Differentiate.
For most people, it is interchangeable. A lot of the podcasts I go to are not education podcasts, so I should probably make that. I like that you make the comment because it is different. Most of the learning that happens in the workplace is training, and most of the learning that happens in traditional education institutions is education. The difference for me, and I don't have a PhD in education, I will say. But it's my observation the last 20 years is that the difference had to do kind of the cognitive level that requires the problem solving, right? And that training is more about following steps, do this, don't do that, following in this fashion, in this sequence, and there's no really thinking behind it, and there's no reasoning. Whereas education is a higher form of training you on how to think, how to reason, how to find answers with imperfect information and things like that. So they are very different because they're engaging the brain in different ways and they are preparing you for different things. But to the extent that both of them involve learning, sometimes we use them interchangeably. Is that a fair answer? You guys are the experts.
Yeah, I love that.
Johnny, you jump in.
Yeah, I love that, Luis. I mean, it's a really important distinction. I appreciate you both making it. I know. We often think about like training as learning we do as adults, like as though it's really different from the kind of learning we did as kids. There are some real differences, right? So I know in the workforce, we often think about our professional development as training. So there's that whole sort of genre of like workforce training, but the best trainings I've ever been a part of, whether I've been a facilitator or a learner, have been, you know, great opportunities to learn. They've been really good educational modules. They've been really great educational programming. So like, I love what you're talking about, because like we all know, we never stop learning. The goal is to be life learners, and adult learning is actually a thing. So there's like a whole idea of like, how do we as adults learn? And I love what you're talking about, Luis, too. And I'm going to ask you to talk to our listeners a little bit more about like personalized learning at scale, because that's the thing is like, I know like I teach teachers and they're adult learners, but they're like young adult learners. So I kind of have to pull from adolescent development stuff and adult learning theory and kind of merge them together. But I know that they learn the best when they're learning from teachers talking about teaching, because they're in their professional identity. So as we think about training and education at the adult learning level, I know when I was a plumber and I was being apprenticed, I learned from a plumber while we were plumbing. So this is like something we as adults do as learners. We are our best learner when we're in that space where we are thinking about our identity, even if it's a new work identity, we're learning. Our receptors to paying attention and to retaining information are open because we're building identity stuff as we're doing that. So I love this, but I think about this, Luis, too, and I think higher ed can learn so much from adult learning writ large, right? The kind of work y'all are doing at Pete. So talk a little bit about like how you focus on personalized learning, and then how in the world, what are some strategies to doing that at scale?
So yeah, thank you so much for that, and adding to the definitions of both. And so personalized education comes both ways. It's personalized from the point of view of the instructor, and it's personalized from the point of view of the learner, right? You talk about that identity part. You know, it creates more engagement and more credibility. And so we live in an era that is relatively easy for us to take knowledge and activate it through an interface that is conversational. And so we take full advantage of that at Pete and say, okay, if we're going to take knowledge that exists in a company, and I'll give you an example. Let's say an onboarding program, right? It's, you got new employees, you're coming in, you got to onboard them in the new company. We'll talk about the company history, the values, the product, and all that. Like I always tell employers that you can get a digital course from Coursera, but you cannot get your onboarding course from Coursera, right? And because it's personalized to you, to your company, to your industry. And so we can take materials like the company history, then the company manual, the employee manual, policies, procedures, throw that, you know, imperfect, unstructured information, and then create a vectorized knowledge base, right? And that's where this new generation of artificial intelligence allows you to do. And so having created that knowledge base in the content part, then we kind of automate the process of translating that knowledge into a training material. But in the assessment portion, then we say, okay, now that we know this and we have defined the learning outcomes and say, I want to evaluate learning against these learning outcomes and then do a simulation around them. Now, a simulation can be that now this knowledge base is acting as an instructor. And then I'm going to ask you questions. And based on your answers and the learning outcomes that I want to pursue, I'm going to keep asking you questions until such a place that we decide that you learn and master the material. But it could also be a situation. You talked about being an apprentice or being a plumber. And now we can actually have the knowledge base be a customer. And we have customers that, or companies that use our platform to train in customer support or in sales, and then they can use the same engine that we build. We call a skills engine to act as a customer that is asking for information, or maybe the customer is very upset or very, and we need to de-escalate, and what we're evaluating there is the skills to de-escalate. And or maybe we are training a person that is helping fans in a stadium, and somebody walk up to them and say, "Hey, you know, my son is lost, and then you have to follow those procedures. So those are the ways that we personalize it, both from the side of the instructor and from, or in this case, it can be whatever persona we want them to be, and the learner.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, so to, you made a comment that I want to come back to when you said, so a company might look out there, Coursera, you made that point. It's like, you know, like, where do I go and get learning? I think that what I'm hearing about Pete is that, you know, I can, so I'm going to now transform. I'm running an HR department and I'm thinking that I need to get some of my employees trained. The first thoughts I might be is to say, go out to Coursera and find something, but it's not going to be my company, my right. And so what I'm hearing you say though, is that Pete, the platform particularly that you have, maybe you tell me if I'm right or wrong and how I'm interpreting this, allows my HR department, me, maybe even as the head of it, to really use your platform to build own identity type of training materials, coursework, learning opportunities that in the past without Pete, I would have had to maybe go shopping for training, where here, what you're telling me is that Pete is giving me the opportunity to not have to necessarily shop for generic kind of or those fits, but that I now have the expertise to build my own training. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And
And
for things like onboarding, and that it makes a lot of sense, right? In the worst case scenario, people put together a, you know, a PowerPoint, and they do the onboarding like that. But there are other cases, and it could be like project management. And project management is very generic, but also it could be that projects are handled differently in this particular company. But what I want to, and that, so you want to personalize that as well. But I just want to take it one more step, and is that we also take the voice of the expert and we clone it for the delivery of the course, because we are very, very, we believe it's very, very important that that authority continues to be there. And even if it's not the actual voice of the person, but it still is the voice of the person. And so we not only is the text that is delivered, but also the experience of being multimodal, of listening from the actual expert or of the topic.
See, Johnny, and this is what's giving me these thoughts now too about AI coming into in the broadest sense. The way we talk about it is that, you know, we, you know, teachers would, quote, have to go out and find materials, right? Do our best to supplement the curriculum, even build the curriculum. And we're seeing AI tools now give us this ability to really generate really quality curriculum learning experiences in Louise, one of the kind of ways of dissing on teachers is saying, where did you find that on Pinterest? And now though, it's kind of like, and Johnny made that look, but thinking about this, Johnny, this is why, when you say Tim has drank the of the church of AI, I'm looking at this and hearing this saying, this empowers teachers to personalize their curriculum for them as the instructor, and then them as their learners, those kids out in front of them, in ways that you just couldn't do before.
Tim, I gotcha. I think maybe cut in and out a little bit there, but I think the listeners and Lewis and I got the gist of it. Yeah, you know, I think about this all the time, and at first my gut reaction as a teacher was, oh man, this is just a deep fake of me. Like they just want to like maybe automate my courses, turn them all into like, you know, AI generated. And that was like my first initial, you know, very, you know, cursory introduction to AI. But when I say AI is a tool, we started to have on guests, and I hear Louise talking about this too in a bigger scale, that started to talk about how they were utilizing AI to do some of the things that was taking us sometimes weeks and months to do. Now they can personalize. They can, like, for example, as a math teacher, I can explain math problem 3 or 4 different ways. And then AI that also utilizes my voice and is familiar with my teaching and those math standards and things can help create different examples, different ways. Different learners may still connect with me in some capacity, but I'm not spending 8 hours on top of my 10-hour teaching day creating that every day. I can really do that much faster with AI as a technology tool. So I love hearing that this is happening at scale for adult learners and industry all over. And my dream, Tim, and Luis is probably with us on that, is that these moments are bringing us all together to learn from one another, where we're saying, hey, what's happening out there in industry? You know, I'll share a little bit of some of my favorite teachers, some of my family members who are also teachers, left teaching. We talk about teacher exodus, Tim, on this show a lot. They are now trainers and educators in the corporate world and loving their job and doing a lot of the things they did as teachers in really exciting ways. And I hate to say this, with a lot less barriers than they had when they were teaching in schools. So I'm still diehard advocating for our K-12 schools and for great teachers to stay. But the more we can bring these kinds of tools and innovations into all of our teaching worlds, to me, the better. It's a win-win. Hey, folks, Luis, tell folks where they can get more about Pete before we part ways here.
Yes, well, thank you so much for the opportunity. So we love to hear from people and to show our platform. So if you are interested, please go to Pete.com. That is PETE.com/podcast. So we know you came from here. And so it's very easy to remember because it's our name.com.
Yeah, I love it, man. Hey, thanks for busting pencils with us, Luis.
Anytime.
And now for your moment of zen. It is the citizenry rather than the government that is the ultimate source of power and the locomotive that pulls the train of government in the direction of equality and justice.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session with Luis Garcia from Pete. That's Personalized Education Training and Enrichment. And thank you for grabbing podcasts like this one and other special Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can find it on the Civic Media website or go to bustedpencils.com. Don't forget, though, you can find free throws and face-offs on Friday, and you can catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.